Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, high atop the Tower of Hope at beautiful Christ Cathedral. And, you know, as I like to say, every week I get more excited than last week. I don't know why that is.
Every week.
Every single week. And this is because live is jamming Jimmy G. Our engineer is live on the show. Welcome, Jimmy G.
Thank you, sir. This time I get to turn my mic on.
You get to turn the mic on, and you can listen to him on Call Me Catholic, and he's on that show. He's on so many different shows, and he actually has the radio voice of all radio voices. But then again, we have someone else in the studio, don't we?
We certainly do.
And this gentleman is someone that I've been wanting to meet for a long time. James Govanelli, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
And James is a youth minister way up in Turlock, and he's at Our Lady of the Assumption Parish, and that is so exciting. How'd you get up in Turlock?
I moved up to Turlock when I was in high school. My mom lived up there, and so I moved up there to live with her, and I stuck around. I almost moved back because it was so different. There were cows and corn and stuff like that I didn't like, and so I was used to big, tall buildings and whatnot, and I almost came back. But
now, is that considered a Central Valley?
Yeah, absolutely.
So my son lived in Visalia.
Okay.
For quite some time.
Okay.
So Tulare County, it is Stockton County, of course. But yeah, so that's awesome people there.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. It's a lot slower there, for
so
sure.
So I know that having such a saint as a father right here to be such a big part of the upbringing. In fact, you trained him very well. In fact, he was a radio personality at a very young age, right?
I was.
Yes, for many years I was an announcer on the Christian talk station here in Southern California, and when James was just a little guy, I'd bring him into the studio with me, and I'd have him go on the air, and I still have some of those recordings.
I bet they're just awesome. What did he do?
There were a couple times I had him sing Jesus Loves Me.
Okay, can we have a rendition? Jesus Loves Me.
This I know.
This I know, for the Bible tells me so.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's the one.
That's the one. I bet you could do that a lot better than, yeah.
And I don't know.
There were a few times I had him introduce programs because I had to say the name of the radio station, the following show is coming up sponsored by blah, blah, blah. So I would write it down for him, and he would say that on the air.
Wow. So. And in spite of that, you're still youth minister.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was an expert at it, and I just wanted other people to have a chance at radio, so I took a step back.
Well, it's great to have you on the show. So tell us about your faith walk.
Well, I've been Catholic my whole life, and I can say that it really came alive for me when I was a sophomore in high school. I had probably, I don't know if it was my first experience, but it's the first one I can remember, my first experience of adoration, and I was on a retreat, and it was just an amazing experience, and it was sort of when I really realized that my faith was important to me, and so I started to dive deep into youth group and apologetics a lot, and I just fell in love with it. I fell in love with Christ. I fell in love with Our Lady and with the church and the sacraments.
Well, that's pretty amazing, especially in this day and age where you don't see that readily. And tell me about you were in high school then, mm-hmm. and you experienced this faith journey, and then what happened from there?
So when I got into college, I went to the local school in our town called Stan State, and I was living in the dorms. And that was when I got really into apologetics. I was taking communication classes, and I had an argumentation class. And my teacher really respected the fact that I was there to learn how to defend my Catholic faith while other people were there for, you know, whatever reasons, general ed or whatever it was. And it was just awesome. So.
And Jimmy G, that's you all over, right? Apologetics. In fact, haven't you written many, many things on apologetics?
Many manifestos.
Many manifestos. So, I mean, how do you feel about having a son that is, you know, so anointed in the Lord that he's defending the faith and so forth? Because I know the Catholic faith is so important to you also.
Well, you know, Deacon Steve, boy, that's a good question. When James was up in Turlock, and he connected with some wonderful friends there, and the church that he connected with there and the body of believers that he started hanging out with. And I could see how the faith was really, really coming alive in him. It was so inspiring to me that it got to the point where I was like, wow, I have no idea why or how exactly this is happening, but it is happening. And my son, my then teenage son, it became such a huge inspiration for me as his dad. So I'm off the charts, off the rails, proud of him. And now that he's in a position where he's kind of helping to shepherd young people, I'm just excited about the position that he's been placed in right now.
We're so excited to have James Govanelli, who is a youth minister at Our Lady of the Assumption in Turlock. And of course, his father, our engineer, Jimmy G, who is an amazing, amazing man with such a deep faith. But it's interesting how people manifest their faith differently. Did you find that you had to make your dad more aware of his faith? Or tell me about that relationship.
I don't think so. Probably one of the memories I have of my dad influencing me in my faith was there was one time in particular where I was attending Mass with my dad, and he received the Eucharist, and just on our way back to the pews, I noticed that he was crying. And I noticed that, and I thought, wow, there's something more to this than I thought before, I suppose. And that's sort of when I realized the true presence of Christ. And I would just, when I moved up north and whatnot, Dad and I, we would chat and stuff, and he'd ask how things were going, and we always just ended up talking about faith, and we went to confession together one time. I remember it was really cool, and I'm not sure. But
were you in and out like in 2 minutes and he was the 20-minute guy? Was that the way that worked? I'm not sure.
I don't think I should answer that.
You don't want to know how it worked. You talk about how fortunate and blessed I felt to have my son being so on fire, and how it was an example to me. I remember he was telling me one time, hey, Dad, you know, I want to go to confession this weekend. I want to go. Well, he wasn't driving yet, so I drove him to the church. I didn't really have intentions necessarily to go to confession that day, but once I was inside the church, I thought, I need to go too.
Wow.
So he took me to the church, and in essence, it was his example, and I was able to receive that sacrament that day.
I just used guilt to get a ride.
I love that. That's Catholic guilt. Very impressive. My brothers and sisters, it's interesting how much of an impact and influence you can make. As a son or daughter, you can make a huge impact on your parents. Obviously, as a parent, pray for your children, intercede for your children, be an example for your children, your grandchildren. You know, we're all connected to each other, and I think that's so important. So as we continue this walk, you're in college now, you're on fire, apologetics, very impressive. When did you decide to go into youth ministry? How'd that work?
Well, I think I was just so inspired by what I had received, and we used the program called Life Teen, and we had core members who were sort of like the adult volunteers in the youth ministry, of course, when I was in high school, and they were just so caring and so loving, and I could tell that they didn't just want me to just be happy, like they wanted me to be holy. They wanted me to have fulfillment in life, and the way to that was obviously through the church and through the Lord. And so receiving that, I think I wanted to give back. So as soon as I graduated from high school, I became a core member myself, an adult volunteer and the music minister. And I did that for maybe 6 or 7 years. And then a position opened up at Our Lady of the Assumption. And I became the youth minister there. And so I popped over there. And I just love sharing the faith with the young people. My confirmation saint is Saint John Bosco. And so I really feel like I have a lot to learn from him about how to treat especially the young people, and how to teach them about the Lord and whatnot.
And that's so awesome. And yeah. you're 23 years old?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's praise the Lord, you know. And you have someone looking through the window here who is awfully special. Tell us about that person.
Yeah, that's my wife, my ray of sunshine, Savannah. We just got married in November.
Wow. Yeah. I remember that. In fact, I remember he worked so hard, lost all this weight too, right?
That's right. That's right.
Oh.
And now I've gained some of it back.
So. Yeah, he's lost all this weight. And did he dance with you? No. I said, oh, no.
I don't think we had that.
Okay. Well, that's a coming attraction. Yeah. But yeah. So, well, that's awesome, you know, to have that Christian marriage and so forth. And that's great. And you guys share your faith together.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really important to us to have a Christian home and to prepare for children and whatever comes our way. You know, we were listening to Peggy this morning, and she was talking about having Christian artwork in your home. she wrote down, she said, like, her top five Christian artwork to have in your home. And we had a lot of them, and I was really proud.
My brothers and sisters, youth ministry is something that is so critical. We all know it. We all know that the youth are the foundation of the future. But we all know there's so many challenges of today's youth. It's interesting, you have junior high, and you have high school and, of course, confirmation. Mm-hmm. These are such critical ages. And being involved in youth ministry myself, as it relates to at least spending some time with them, not as, quote, a youth minister, it's incredibly challenging. And I know for many of the parents out there, you may say, how do I communicate? How do I communicate with my children? How do I do it in a way to get them excited about the Lord? We're going to be right back to talk more about starting in junior high school. How do we communicate with those in junior high in which we can get them involved, get them excited about Jesus, and do it in a way that is really sustainable? This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back.
God, I'm running for you.
A trip to the Holy Land. Simply subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll be automatically entered to win. No purchase necessary to enter. Travel to some of Christianity's most important sites. This inspirational tour is truly a vacation of a lifetime. All you have to do is subscribe to Sunday delivery of OC Catholic and the OC Register, and you'll automatically be entered to win. Visit OCCatholic-subscribe.com. Now, back to Empowered by the Spirit with Deacon Steve Greco.
It's so fascinating as we talk about youth ministry, that youth ministry starts in junior high, which is it 7th and 8th?
I do 7th and 8th, yeah.
7th and 8th, yeah. Okay, you mentioned junior high school, and most of us just absolutely, I mean, we just go screaming, mm-hmm. you know, in fear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, okay, you look at them, and they're, you know, it's
yeah.
like, try to get their attention. Tell us about the junior high school mentality, and how can you get them excited about the Lord?
Yeah, well, it definitely takes a little bit of a strategic approach, but I'd say number one for me is prayer. Ahead of time, having a strong prayer life, attending daily mass if possible and whatnot. And the Lord really gives you the words that you need and the jokes that you should tell and the games you should play with them and whatnot, and having a strong team. But when I approach a group of middle schoolers, I get really excited about that because they're so smart and they're so funny. And if you can just get them on your side just for a brief second, then they're loyal forever is what it seems like. Like, oh, you play video games too? Then all of a sudden you're the coolest person in the room.
That's awesome.
And so you just gotta, I don't know, you just gotta love on them.
You know, you mentioned love, which is the foundation of everything, because mm-hmm. Jesus is love. You mentioned prayer, and I love Mark 11:24. Therefore, I tell you that all you ask for in prayer, believe you'll receive it and shall be yours. You know, when we stand and pray, my brothers and sisters, you know, great miracles happen. And it's so important that we pray with expected faith. We pray with the faith of centurion, say mm-hmm. but the word.
Mm-hmm.
We pray with the idea that God is hearing us and wants to answer us. So you pray, you love them. How do you show them that you love them?
You got to listen to them. I think that's probably the first way to show them that you love them is to listen to them. I think that there are a lot of people in their lives who are trying to tell them how to do things, like their teachers are assigning them homework and teaching them things, which is good. Their parents are asking them to clean their room or whatever, which, you know, they need to do. But just to make sure that you're definitely someone who's just listening to the things that they have to say, it's I think that that's really important. That's a way that they can really know that they're loved. Wow, this person is genuinely interested in what I have to say and interested in my life.
So have you seen him teach in front of either junior high or high school?
I've seen videos.
It's true.
Now, since we're kind of in different towns, I really haven't had the chance to see firsthand some of what James has been doing in action. But I've seen you on video doing that sort of thing. I've seen mm-hmm. pictures, and I've certainly gotten the play-by-play afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So. Junior high students, what are some of the programs that you do to get them excited, get them involved?
Yeah, in terms of programs, there are a couple good ones out right now. I usually have to adapt whatever I have for my group because I sort of know their learning style. But the one, we have a couple that we have at our church. One of them is called Chosen, and I think Chris Stefanik was really involved in making that one happen. Chosen, and then we've got Father Michael Schmitz is on that one as well. And that one is really video-based, and the people who are on it have a lot of great things to say, and they say them in a great way. I find that sometimes our classes are pretty big, and so our students have a hard time focusing if it's only a video. And so sometimes I'll watch the video, and I'll sort of get the play-by-play of what they're going to say, and I'll go up and do the teaching, and I'll insert some of the inside jokes we have as a class or something like that just to keep their attention and whatnot, and they really respond well to that sort of format.
Let's talk to the parents for a second, parents of junior high students. What's your recommendation to them as it relates to really creating an environment in which their kids can get excited about their faith, about mm-hmm. being Catholic, about going to church, mm-hmm. about trying to learn more? What would you say to them?
I think, first of all, it's definitely prayer. I think we try to cover up the need for prayer with other things, like sending them to youth group or playing Christian music in the car or taking them to a Christian movies or something like that. But I think that my advice to parents, even though I'm not a parent yet, is definitely to be praying for your children and for the youth minister and for the adult volunteers that are there and for the pastor of the parish and whatnot. But that prayer is just so important, and I think we overlook it. But in terms of just having conversations with them about faith, I always try to make sure that I really involve the parents in things. So if we're talking about like the anointing of the sick, for example, I usually send some conversation topics back home to the parents. I'll email them like, this is sort of what you can talk to your child about on the way home or something like that. If you can't think of something, I guess that's sort of what I do. I don't know if that helps answer your question.
No, that's great. But one of the things I think it's so important, and this is my message to all the parents out there of any children, but certainly junior high children, is to model your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because wouldn't you say that, say, all teenagers, certainly, they observed exactly what the parents do?
Yeah, absolutely.
Not just what they say.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if the parents are not excited about going to church or don't go to church,
mm-hmm.
you know, what kind of environment does that set up?
Yeah, it wouldn't be a great way to get them to be involved in their faith. There's no way it would happen unless they see an example.
And what about the little things about like saying grace in the evening or at a dinner or a meal? Is that important?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, incredibly important. And even having them lead grace every once in a while, or even all the time. I know that when I'm visiting my dad, often the kids will fight over who can say grace before the meal. And I always think that's really sweet. I think that's important because then they take ownership over it. You know, it's not just mom or dad, but it's also me, you know.
A lot of times in my house, it's my youngest, my son Aaron, who's 11. He'll lead us in grace.
Awesome. So, awesome.
Yeah.
No, it's really important. I know that with my grandkids, they alternate. And they fight over who says the grace. And, you know, it's little things like that that really make a difference. In terms of just other types of programs in junior high school, you've been involved heavily in music.
Mm-hmm.
Is
mm-hmm.
that certainly junior high, high school, both. But how important is music to really the worship part of getting across the message you want to get across?
Yeah, music is very important. And I think back to St. John Bosco, who's inspired me a lot. And he would often teach the children that he ministered to. He would teach them songs and he would sing with them. He would teach them how to play instruments and stuff like that. While I might not have the time to teach them how to play guitar or something like that, I love teaching them songs as another way of praying. Teaching them to sing Come Holy Spirit instead of just saying it sometimes can really sort of activate something in maybe someone who finds himself musically inclined. And we know, you know, from St. Augustine that singing is praying twice. And so every once in a while, I'll get them into the chapel for like a closing prayer and we'll sing a closing prayer together. And that's just always very meaningful. I always love doing that.
And do you play an instrument? Do you sing also
yeah.
to them?
Yeah, I play guitar and I can sing.
Oh, okay.
And my wife sings with me often.
Really?
Yeah.
Often? Like maybe even on the show? Possibly? We actually may have a cut of James singing, don't we? Somewhere in the background?
Oh, you better believe I've got all sorts of different stuff that James sang.
So
some worship songs and...
I got a feeling our engineer is going to put something into this recording here that's going to be awfully special.
I've also got recordings of James as a real little guy on the radio.
Wow.
Introducing programs. So maybe I can do some mining.
A medley?
I can always talk in my little kid voice if we need to.
I could have James at 4 singing Jesus Loves Me, then James at 18 doing like a worship song.
I love that part. I can't wait to hear it myself. And how about James and Savannah? Do we have any of those?
I don't think I have any recordings of you and Savannah singing.
But by popular demand, we're going to bring her in our studio and have her sing? What do you think, Savannah? Just nod up and down, up and down. Yeah. She's rolling her eyes. Okay. Well, it's so important, again, to make it fun, right?
Yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
I mean, singing is fun, you know, and what kind of songs do they like in, say, junior high?
You know, unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that they typically will listen to is not what you would hear at youth group. So I definitely, we have a lot of, there are great musicians who release music recently that some of the youth are enjoying. Matt Maher, 10th Avenue North, Switchfoot, all of these different Christian artists that release music that that's modern, that the young people can really sort of dive into. And I try to play stuff that's both modern to sort of maybe get the energy up, but I definitely like to teach them the older stuff too, the ancient Christian songs that have sort of made our history that's really important too.
Ancient, that kind of relates to at least me. I'm not you, Jim.
I'm talking about like the music in the 70s.
Oh!
Ancient.
Ancient 70s.
Just kidding.
Well, we are good friends with Alob. I don't know if you know him or not, but he is someone who I know is on fire with the Lord and does an awful lot of ministry for teenagers and so forth. So that's incredibly exciting. Do they actually sing? High school?
Yeah, especially the girls really sing really well. And the guys, I gotta sort of trick them into it sometimes. But once they get singing, I mean, they sing at home all day. They sing in the shower. They sing in the car or whatever. And so if I can get them singing a little bit, it's definitely a triumph. But the girls usually want to sing right away. They're usually excited too.
So what's some of the major issues in junior high as it relates to their faith walk? And what are they thinking about?
Well, I think that they're thinking about a lot of things. With social media being such a gift that we can use to minister to people, to evangelize, it's also a source of temptation, I think, for a lot of them. I think a lot of them maybe deal with vanity, trying to get as many followers as they can and stuff like that, or how many likes they can get on things, some pride. And then even one industry that's really just destroying the souls of our young people is pornography. And I think they're able to access that pretty easily.
Even in junior high.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And it breaks my heart. So I really try to encourage them in chastity and encourage them in humility and whatnot. But in terms of some of the issues that they're facing right now, I'd say those are probably some of the major ones.
We have a father and son team here. James Govanelli, a youth minister up in Turlock at Our Lady of the Assumption, and Jim Govanelli, his father, who's the engineer on our show. And we're going to be right back to talk more about youth ministry and confirmation. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit.
Collapsing was much softer, still falling always hurts. Only after sensing love for always ends.
Let's get back now to Deacon Steve on Empowered by the Spirit.
Well, we're so excited to have James Govanelli on the show, along with his father, Jim, our engineer. And we've talked about youth ministry as it relates to junior high and some of the challenges there. I've gotten very involved with confirmation, being a deacon, and interviewing the kids and occasionally giving talks and so forth with them. I also found them exciting and challenging all at the same time, and everything from A to Z. I mean, I'm so amazed over, I guess, some more of the girls than boys, but really kind of a mixture of ones that are so excited about the Lord. They want to learn more about Scripture. They want to learn more about the faith. And then you've got kind of in the middle, and then you've got the other side that is just like, no matter what you say, you know, they're like, you know, they could care less.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find that to be the same as it relates to confirmation students, that everything from A to Z or not?
Yeah, actually, definitely. And the ones who seem like really bored and like they really don't care, sometimes those students really excite me because I can't wait to like dive into their heart to see like what's going on, what they're really passionate about, and to see how I can relate it to something in the faith. Some of them, they have these interests and I can say, oh, well, you know, did you know about one of the prophets talks about this, or, you know, this is in Matthew, or Jesus talks about that or something like that. And they can see that their faith isn't just like this one world over here and then real life is over here. Like it's actually supposed to be, you know, a unified thing where there's not two different lives you're living. It's one, you know, so it's sort of exciting when I encounter that. But of course it's exciting when, you know, they ask me questions because they want to learn more too. But that's too easy sometimes.
One of the things that we're involved in our parish as it relates to the confirmation is somewhat related to social justice or certainly Christian service in terms of working with the poor or trying to help people in various ways, in which they have to do about five or six different things during the course of their 2 years. Is that similar to what you do?
Yeah. Last year we had a project for them called Project Mercy, where they had to go out and accomplish a work of mercy that was approved by me ahead of time. So a lot of them chose feeding the hungry, and they would go to a local homeless shelter and feed the people who came there. And that was a really great opportunity for them to, and I think it was life-changing too, because it's not so much just James up front talking about how it's important to do these things. They're actually there, like sort of in the trenches, dealing with these things. Like actually like putting food on someone's plate and like looking them in the eyes, and that how important that is. And I think that a lot of them were impacted positively by that. So
now, Jim, in terms of your kids growing up, as it relates to what we would call Catholic social teaching and, you know, the dignity of the poor and, you know, working with those that are less fortunate, what are some things that you guys did or awareness in terms of your family?
Well, I think one of the things that my wife, Mindy, and I, we try to do is, and Mindy's really good at this, is really trying to pay attention to those around us. Like when you come down off the freeway and there's the freeway off ramp and maybe someone who is in need, having maybe like a little snack bag of some sort that we can give out. And I've heard, you know, just engineering your own show here, Deacon Steve, I've heard many different examples about just ways that we can be a good example to people. And we really try to do that as best we can. And it's something that I really do give my wife, Mindy, a lot of props.
It makes such a big difference, my brothers and sisters, when we are examples of making a difference for the poor, making a difference for those that are hurting, make a difference for those that are hungry, and we give them food, and thirsty, we give them drink. You know, we get involved in Wells of Life and in Uganda, you know, getting water wells where we, you know, we'll work with kids or work with various people to help support that. All those things are really, really important. I do want to ask you about confirmation names. It's always fascinating to me about that. Your thoughts on that, the importance of it.
Yeah. You know, I think it's really important to encourage them to take a confirmation name, especially because, like, for example, my saint, I've mentioned a couple times, St. John Bosco, I really have connected with him in at least this phase of my life, especially, you know, with sort of doing similar work that he did. And I think that if they can really choose a saint who they can connect with on an emotional level, like almost like this person is my friend, this person is walking with me, I want to try to live my life like this person. Like the Lord called this person to holiness, not only for the people in their time, but for the people in my time, for me too. And I can be inspired by them. I could take some of maybe their prayer practices and do them as well. Oh, he did Lectio Divina. I want to focus on Lectio Divina also.
And how do you ascertain and make sure that your confirmation candidates really understand what name they chose?
You know, that's kind of tough, I suppose. I guess I want to try to give them opportunities to learn about different saints, giving them like little biographies or something, just like a little snippet so they can learn about several at one time and not just one a lot, if that makes sense. And then once they know sort of who they like, who they feel a little bit interested in, who they feel like might be a good companion. And they can go home and do more research on that, write up a little report and hand it in to me, that sort of thing.
So, Jimmy G, the letter from St. James, the fact that you're James, how important is James to you in terms of that particular letter or the word James, the name James, the background of James?
I have a very interesting thought that just dawned on me at the beginning of this show. James talks about how St. John Bosco has meant so much to him over the years. Well, how was I to know that many, many years ago when I was in high school, I went to a school named after St. John Bosco. I went to Don Bosco Tech. And so many, many years ago, unbeknownst to me, the saint whose name was covering my high school was going to be a strong example on my own son many years later. So there's my offering for you.
I love that. I love that. You know, I remember, I believe it's December 26th is the day, the celebration day for St. Stephen, which is, of course, my name, my saint. And he was the first deacon, and I'm a deacon. Do you like the letter of St. James?
I love it so much, especially when I was in college. I really felt like he and I were sort of getting lit up about the same sort of issues. And I was really just, I would read through it and I'd be like, you know what? I get it. I get what's making you upset right now. Or I get why you're saying those things.
He's fired up.
The guy's
passionate.
Yeah, yeah.
He's so passionate. What are some verses that come to mind in James?
Definitely from James chapter 2, when he's talking about faith and works. That's probably what I really related to the most, especially in college when he's talking about, so also faith of itself, if it does not have works, is dead. And he goes on to talk about how believing in God is not enough, that even the demons believe in God and shudder. I always shuddered at that part too.
No, it's so powerful. And I mentioned that so many times, you know, in terms of salvation as it relates to people go, well, I believe in Jesus. Well, even the demons believe in Jesus.
Yeah, of course.
But is Jesus Lord of your life?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and James is basically saying, it's really what's in your heart. You know, I mean, what is in your heart? Do you really want to love God with all your heart, soul, might, and strength? Do you want to love your neighbors, yourself, and really make a difference? And that, you know, you mentioned earlier about loving your students, whether it be, you know, whoever they are. How do we communicate how much God loves us? Because that is such a foundation of what it takes to be a successful Christian. I use the word successful, but someone who is really nourished as a Christian,
mm-hmm.
is understanding how much God loves them.
So I think the first step in being able to really get through to them that God loves them, is that sort of what your question is? Yeah. So really get through to them that God loves them is, first of all, how I treat them. So if I can really treat them with love and with care, I think that becomes sort of like the first testimony. That's something I can offer them for sure. Like, no matter where I am, no matter what resources I have, if the projector's not working, if I don't have my Bible with me, like, the way I treat them is really going to be like the first step in them understanding that they are loved. And, also I'd say the power of adoration, the power of the Eucharist is something that I feel like we can always tap into more. So whenever I have the opportunity to take them to adoration, I feel like spending silence with Jesus, or even if there's some music playing or something, that time, that can do more than any sort of long, big old preaching talk I can give them. And so I try to really introduce them to the sacraments so that they can understand how God loves them.
How do you make church come alive for them?
I think I just have to get out of the way to allow the church to come alive for them. Maybe I feel like I find myself trying too hard to explain how this one thing is cool or how it's fun or something like that. But if I can just be myself, if I could sort of use games to get them sort of on my side, sort of like, okay, I'm going to listen to him. And then I take them to the church, I take them to the confessional, I take them to adoration. God has big things planned for them there. And I think that as youth ministers, a lot of times we get in the way of what God has planned for them. And if I can just find a way to really let them allow the Lord to do what he's going to do and get out of the way myself. And sometimes that means spending a lot of time in prayer. Sometimes that means saying something that he's put on my heart that I feel like I need to say. And sometimes it can be sort of harsh, or sometimes it can be, but still loving, of course. Or sometimes that means just being silent and listening to one of them talk to me about issues in their life. But I find that I just need to get out of the way is probably what I would say.
Jim, as a parent growing up, I'm sure your kids were just similar to many kids in which, do we have to go to church? Did you go to church regularly? And if so, how did you get them to go?
Yes, I certainly did growing up. There was never any excuse to miss Mass at all growing up for me, unless I was just, you know, lying down and sick and just not able to. And I was able to take that into my parenting also. I just try to show the example of the fact that, you know, the Lord asks for 1 hour of our time a week as far as, you know, daily Mass is concerned. And that's so little to offer to the Lord that we need to at least make that time, even if it's kicking and screaming that they're coming to church, or they're just not willing to.
As someone once said, okay, for the first 18 years, you know, if you're living in this house, you go with me. After that, you're on your own. And right. I think that's so important. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Powered by the Spirit. We're going to be right back to talk more about youth ministry.
Now, back to Empowered by the Spirit with Deacon Steve Greco.
We've been talking on the show about youth ministry, starting with junior high school and going on to talk about high school and confirmation. One of the more fascinating things to me is post-confirmation. Where'd they go? You know, how can you get the seniors really on fire? They've been confirmed now, coming back. Hopefully they're going to church. What are programs you have for them?
So for us, we, in our diocese, they're confirmed in eighth grade. And after that, so the program we use for high school is called Life Teen. I love Life Teen because it really is Eucharist-centered and Mary-centered. So the whole goal of Life Teen is to lead teens closer to Christ, but specifically by means of bringing them to the Mass is the number one goal. So if a youth Mass is full of teens, or if a Mass is full of teens, then Life Teen has accomplished what its goal is. And so in terms of high school ministry, really, we use Life Teen and we really focus on getting them to Mass, and we entrust the ministry to Our Lady.
So tell us more about Life Teen, the shows on many stations throughout the country, and many people perhaps are not familiar with it. Hopefully they are, but if they're not, how can they find out more about it?
Yeah, so Life Teen was started, I want to say it was maybe about 30 or so years ago. It's based in Arizona at St. Timothy's Parish. And Life Teen is a program, it's a ministry that really tries to make youth ministers' lives easier so we don't have to reinvent the wheel. The ministry is run by several youth ministers. Everyone who works for Life Teen was a youth minister at one time, a parish youth minister specifically. And so they sort of know some of the stuff that we're going through as youth ministers, and the fact that our time is limited. A lot of us are part-time. I'm fortunate enough to be full-time, but a lot of them are part-time, and so they don't really have time to write the curriculum or what are we going to talk about tonight. I'm not sure. If you have a Life Teen subscription, you're able to open up the book and see what Life Teen recommends, and we sort of talk about what they say. And probably the thing I love most about Life Teen is that it's based on very much on the church. So the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops released this structure for high school catechesis where they really want you to focus on an 8-semester structure. So you go through this loop and then you start over again once you get through the 8 semesters. And Life Teen bases its curriculum on that. So I know that I can trust Life Teen because I know that I already trust the bishops. So that's what I've got.
And you find that the students, the high school students, really like it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Life Teen is a great program for weekly high school catechesis. They've got Bible studies. They've got discipleship groups. They host several events throughout the summer and throughout the year, specifically with the Franciscan University of Steubenville. They have like these big conferences over the summer. I'll be taking my high schoolers to one. And it's just a great opportunity for the high schoolers to meet other high schoolers and realize that the church is bigger than Our Lady of the Assumption. It's even bigger than the Diocese of Stockton, you know. And they can meet other teens their age. And so Life Teen allows for that to happen.
How do you prepare your seniors to what's going to happen in college?
Well, the seniors, they have a lot ahead of them. I'd say that I always go back to prayer. I always am praying for them. And I always want to focus on them and in that way. But we really try to get them connected with some of their ministry, specifically in the parish. We find that that's really helpful, or encouraging them to go on a missionary trip, maybe if they take a gap year before college, something like that. Our parish sends a lot of young people to NET, to do NET ministries, which is national evangelization teams where they go around the country and they put on retreats for middle schoolers and high schoolers. So we have a lot of teens who go to that, or young people who go to that. And we have a movement in our parish called Young Adults, Young Adult Teams of Our Lady, where they join a little discipleship group and they help each other in fellowship and in prayer. And so really getting them connected to something, having some sort of resource for them, is important. And I think that as a church, one thing that maybe we can work on is having something for the college age kids. I think that I know that when I was in college, all that was left for me to do was either join a ministry, or I felt like I was the youngest guy in the room, or already start volunteering for the high schoolers. I didn't really have anything else that was going to sort of feed me or keep me going, you know? But fortunately in our parish, we have a couple options for them. So
that's awesome. And how important is learning the Bible to teenagers at all?
I think that the teenagers struggle with understanding how scripture is relevant. And I think that it's important for them to, I usually have my Bible with me. Actually, I left it in the car today, but I usually have my Bible with me, and I'm usually carrying it around because I usually want to brush up on the daily readings or the Sunday's readings, different things like that. And I always try to use it whenever I deliver a talk to them. And I think it's important for them to see me opening it up and realize James is talking about something that is relevant to me right now. And where's he getting what he's saying? He's getting it from the Bible, you know. And we always, it's important to get them to read the Bible too. So we'll, sometimes in small groups, we'll have opportunities for them to open it up and read it, or during adoration to read it. And we always try to encourage them to do that. So
I certainly can understand, Jim, why you're so proud of your son, James.
Can you believe this kid?
I'm just in awe. I'm in awe. I'm just going, wow. What did you do? Are you parent of the century or what? You know, I mean, I know you don't want to give yourself credit, but what's some of the advice that you can give people in terms of just trying to raise your kid, your children, in which they appreciate their faith?
Well, you know, Deacon Steve, you know, looking back with James, I really set aside time. I made sure that James was a priority in my life when he was a really young lad. You know, we had some struggles in the family, and I just really made sure that I was there for him, whether it was for baseball practice or soccer. He was involved in Irish dance and all sorts of things. I mean, youth basketball. And I had to put forth extra effort to be there, to be present for him because of some different life circumstances that came about. But I don't regret a single minute of it. You know, I had to put a lot of miles on the car. Let's put it that way. And so now I can look back when I think of the struggles that maybe we had gone through when James was a really young lad. I used to just really pray that the angels would surround him, that the Spirit just would be with him in a special way. And that has truly happened in spades all these years later. So all I can say is I'm just unbelievably blessed by the young man that he has become, and what an example he is to me.
I know Jim and I are rather biased as it relates to the importance of Christian radio. Your dad has been 35 years, is it? Many, many years as
not quite
25 years.
I'm about 20, I think 29 years in radio.
29. Okay. Yeah, so I'm not that far off. 29 years in radio. And Christian radio, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And your thoughts on that? I mean, you're proud of your dad for being on Christian radio.
Yeah, absolutely. I have so many memories being in a studio with him from when I was a little kid and I had my Thomas trains and I would make some intricate train track in the studio and always listening to him, you know, be the host on a show or tell the morning funny joke or whatever it was, or tell the weather or the traffic. And he always was involved in Christian radio, and to finally, I think in the last couple of years, he's really been able to become more involved in Catholic Christian radio. And I think that's been just a life changer for him. I remember he was always so grateful. Like, I'm so grateful that I'm in Christian radio. I'm able to be in radio, which I love, and involve my faith with it, which I love, but I just wish it could be Catholic radio, you know? And now that Dad is involved in Catholic radio, I just know that he's just right in his rut. Like, he's just really happy with where he is. And so I'm really happy for him in that way.
James, I know how proud Jim is of you. Your dad is of you, and how he just beams. And when he talks about you, he just lights up. Tell him how proud you are of him.
Well, Dad,
Well.
I think that I can sum it up for sure on how I feel about you, Dad. When it comes to thinking of our relationship, I think about how you've treated me and how you fathered me. It helps me to understand how God the Father loves me and how God the Father loves me so much that he gave me you to teach me a little bit about how he loves me. And I think that's probably the best way I could put it.
That's a beautiful, and your reaction to that.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you know, I think James actually wrote that to me in a letter one time that I tucked away, and it is so very precious to me. When he first shared that with me, I was just absolutely blown away. And now I have it on tape.
Oh,
so now I can play it over and over
again. You know, it's the little things, and this is for all of you out there, whether it be, you know, letting your children, your grandchildren know how much you love them, how proud of you are of them. But for those children out there, for their parents, just know that they live and die on, they don't die, but they live for just that knowledge that not just that you love them, but you've appreciated what they've done and how hard it is. And I think, you know, when you have children, you begin to realize much clearer, much more definitively, how difficult it is to raise children, especially keep them in faith. It's extremely difficult. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. You've been amazing, James.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
And thank you, Jim, once again, for all you do for Empowered by the Spirit.
Thank you, Deacon Steve. Always a joy to work with you guys. Every time you bring the crew in, it's a blessing, and you guys bless the studio.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, and we praise you, and we worship you, and we thank you, Lord God, for the gift of youth ministry. We thank you for James and his ministry and for all youth ministers and all leaders of the parish and all leaders trying to do the best they can to bring Jesus to them, to all priests and deacons, to all religious. May they continue to be filled with your love and filled with your Holy Spirit. May we all be blessed and healed spiritually, mentally, emotionally, and physically. And may Almighty God bless you with every spiritual blessing in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. We'll be with you next week. At the same time, this is Deacon Steve Greco signing off on Empowered by the Spirit.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit right here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Immaculate Heart Radio.